With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm just going to go ahead and hit the intro, and then whatever you want to do with this,
okay,
on your side, go ahead.
Everybody, we are back. It is Safe Don't Lie, your favorite podcast, favorite channel, favorite is everything. We are back. You guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you like it. Leave a comment if you don't like it. Also, follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me, at BD Williams 18 for BD. Also, Panda Supplements TDL for 35% off. Make sure you guys support that. Panda Supplements, pandasubs.com. Panda Supplements, use TDL for 35% off your discount. All right, BD. So,
We got a lot to talk about in this episode.
We're going over impact players. Offense and defense, of course. And who are the impact players of the year? But basically, I guess it's kind of like our MVPs type of thing.
First of all, how'd this happen? Because you wanted to do a recap of all the position groups, right?
Yeah,
that's how this first started, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you wanted to grade? Yes, you wanted to grade the position groups. And when I went through, I was like, "There's really only like a handful of guys that are even good, right?" And then it was even harder to find on your side, apparently. So, So we just decided to scrap the position grades and just go with the guys who made an impact this year.
Yeah.
For the most part, there's probably going to be some guys that are controversial and left off lists. So we'll tackle those questions. We'll tackle those questions after. But then there's also a conversation about Derek Carr officially leaving the Raiders, or is it official?
He said goodbye, right?
But we did talk about that a little bit, but there, I mean, it's new-ish, right, for this episode. And then also we want to talk about Josh Jacobs being re-signed, if that is a possibility, if that should be the number one priority this offseason, right? So let's just get into it. We're going to talk about impact players, offense and defense. So why don't we start talking about your thought process here for offense, okay? You were texting me. You were saying that you were having a hard time finding guys to be, like, that you can say were impact players.
Yes.
And when I was thinking through it, after the guys that you named and that you'll go through, I was having a hard time justifying anyone as well. So just take us through your thought process.
Yeah, I mean, because I was like, what is an impact player, right? I feel like a guy that's like you feel like was there every Sunday, made an impact every single Sunday, right? And on offense, I had I could only come up with three guys, and that was Adams, Jacobs, and Colton Miller. So that's who I went with. And we were supposed to pick five guys. And I just couldn't stretch it. I just felt like I was stretching if I tried to add in like a massive.
So my question,
or yeah, like, yeah, go ahead.
I'll ask you about omissions afterwards, right?
Okay.
I definitely agree. Like if you're talking about like struggling to put Matt Collins in there, right?
Yeah.
My example is Foster Moreau. Were there times where Foster Moreau made a clutch play this year for the Raiders?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. How many more times did he have an epic gaffe or some kind of mistake? It outweighs the good plays. So that's what I did with my list, right? If I'm seeing more good plays than bad plays, I put you on the list. Easy, yeah. Easy as that. Easy as that. So is that how you did it or what?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically how I did it. Yeah, I mean, because everybody else, I mean, I could find more negatives, in my opinion,
but, right.
You know, it just wasn't. It wasn't. I feel like I'm like, who am I going to pick because I was like, I almost thought about doing Jermaine and Luminor, and then I felt like I was really stretching it.
Then you're stretching. And yeah. then what does the list even mean at this point if you're going to add someone like Jermaine and Luminor?
Yeah.
It makes the – just toss the list out when you see when you see a Jermaine and Luminor, right? So, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So then do you want to go ahead and jump into the breakdown here? How you want to do it?
All right, let's do it. Let's I'll do my side. We'll get the side that pays the bills.
The offense.
The bill payer right here. All right. So
number one event.
All right, here we go. Oh. All right. Okay, so we're starting out with Devontae Adams. And this is one of my favorite Devontae Adams plays. We're just going to, you know, talk about this play right here. A little shake. See him shake these guys up. Make the catch at the end right there. One-handed catch. See a bit on the back end. But, I mean, Devontae Adams, he had 1,516 yards. 1,516 yards, if I can say stuff right. I think about 100 catches, right? Had his biggest yards per catch of his career, 15 yards per catch. Basically became a deep threat. So all we're going to see today from Devontae Adams is digs and fade. So, you know, the excitement coming with Devontae is fade. Here's a dig. We're getting a dig here. On this one, this was nasty. This is just a double shake here. Shakes up Asante Samuel. Oh, I haven't fallen on the ground. He just did Asante Samuel dirty all year, to be honest. See one more time. Oh, double shake right there. Fall on the ground. Look at him flipping. He's embarrassed. The quarterback. Asante Samuel.
Why you did that to me?
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Devontae, he did this is what he did all year. I mean, he was consistent. I mean, when they were able to be on point, Derek Carr had time. He was able to hit the fades. This is another pretty one. And 49ers, it's pure fade. He's really not even open here. He didn't even win. But this is a great throw from Jarrett Stidham. But this is an even better catch. And it's the late hands for me, man, on this one. Late hands. Which is, I mean, he's textbook with his hands. Crazy how he does it. Back a little bit. That. Late hands. Ward never knows when the ball's coming. Get your feet down. This is a great throw for him. Good right there. Everybody's like, he should have threw to Waller, but man, hey.
You beautiful.
You have it like that. That's Adams all year, man. And that's why we need a quarterback to make sure this guy stays. I don't know who is going to be. And here's him in the red zone. Checking up Kevin Byard. Good anticipation from Carr right there. Late hands again. Touchdown. I don't want the backside. Just watch him work. Kevin Byard, man. You see it. Work him in the late hand. Byard has no idea the ball's coming. No idea. Snatch that ball out the air. Touchdown. Textbook. Everything he does. Textbook. But it also comes back to me is you know, we haven't been a deep threat. I don't know how that's going to work long term. I do want to say that. I don't know how that's going to work. His age, all that stuff. I don't know how that and him being a deep threat. And, you know, because sometimes you have to depend on him to win, too. And he has to win in different ways. He just can't win beating some guy off the line, right? He has to, like, shake you and bake you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Give you something to kind of make you hesitate so he can run past you.
Right. And, he wants you to stop your feet.
Yeah, exactly, right? Just like this, when you try to, you know, come up.
Quick jam.
Quick jam, right? And he just backs up, right? Even take a little bit of a false step, right?
Do, so he do can not, win. Do not quick jam Davante Adams.
And then he has no idea the ball's coming. You don't even see him catch the ball. You don't even see it. Well, that's a...
He's probably like, wait, what happened?
Like, what the? You don't even see him catch the ball, man. It's crazy. So, I mean, it's crazy the stuff that he does with the football. And you know, it was special to watch him this season. Hopefully, we get to watch him again. So, I don't know what quarterback they pick, but it better be somebody that he likes. Sure.
For sure.
All right. Oh, my bad. I got one more. I got one more for you guys here. This is a other favorite plays here on this route. Double team. He's the double team. See, that's what I'm talking about, the little shake and bake. But he's not winning without doing that. See, it just kind of stop right there, a little stutter step. Back a little bit. Stutter step. Then blow past him. And then the late hands. They have no idea the ball's coming. The guy's falling on the floor. No idea the ball's coming. That's funny. That's the same throw that Carr made in the wind, the last throw.
What a sick throw.
That's the same thing he tried to do. All right, now we go to the dog, the other first team All Pro here, who's just had a monster season with Josh Jacobs.
Beast.
I don't know, over 2,000 scrimmage yards, 12 touchdowns. Just a monster, right? Led the league in rushing, and you see some of the plays here that he made, right? This is a great one. This is great blocking too, but this is also patience. You see a little bit of Le'Veon Bell here. Look at this.
Yeah,
watch one more time. The patience, right? Setting up the blocks, knowing they're going to win, and then hitting that burst, right? And of course, Matt Collins misses his block, but that's okay because Josh Jacobs, you can't tackle him in open field. And Matt Collins tries to block him in the back too. I don't know what he was trying to do here, but we still got some yards here. All right, so right, set up on those power runs. Here we go, another right. Now we're getting a little. Power run, a little counter, a little bit down blocks, okay. Right? Perfect blocking, but you see, you can't tackle him one on one though. You ain't getting away from Josh Jacobs, touchdown, and that's what you know. Josh McDaniels likes from all his backs. He likes the short bursts, more than the speed. I would say he likes the short bursts more than the speed. So I mean, they really do. Jacobs is the type of back he would draft. So that's the thing when you talk about his future, but. See here on the crack toss here. It's a variety. But this is what I'm talking about, him just being special, because this is a bad block from Johnson, right? Johnson just completely whiffs. But whew, it don't matter, right? And that's what we talk about, creating by yourself. He doesn't need great blocking all the time, which he just get.
You said rewind that on Jakob Johnson whiffing. Let's see that again.
I mean, look, he's on the ground. But it don't matter. It don't matter. Jacobs, say, I'm going to make a miss anyways. I'm going to get 10.
That's an incredible run.
That's incredible, bro. It's like this all day. It's like this all day.
Yeah, it's the best run on there so far.
Here's another one. I really like this one, too. He's going to set this one up, too. And, you know, he wasn't good in power runs, but this one's more inside zone here. So you get inside zone. See him find the cutback inside zone. Hit that. Quickly, right? This is a great block right there. James.
Beautiful.
Then he just makes to track those dudes further and further. And then this is one of my favorite runs too, right here against the Niners. All right. A little jab step, right? But then make that guy miss, right? And then here, this one's nasty. The dead leg. That's why Nick Bosa says the best back he's ever played with, right there. This is the play. This is the play that did it. He's like, why would Nick Bosa say he's the best back he ever played with? Here's the play. Here's the best play he's ever played
Here's why he said that.
He's like, what just happened? How do we not tackle him there? Yeah, and that was Josh Jacobs all day, all year. Josh Jacobs all year. But I want to highlight Cole Miller, because I think Cole Miller had a breakout season. Somebody got mad at me on Twitter when I said that, but come on, guys. He was not a top 10 tackle before this season. Maybe like, you know, he was like, a Derek Carr tackle, like fringe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe 15.
Top
whatever.
15. Yeah.
Right. But now that dude, I don't know. I don't know where you want to put him, but man, he had an awesome year. And I think it was more the end of the year where he's definitely started to get his groove and got used to this technique that, you know, they wanted him to do, which is, you know, this one handout. And I try to show it real quick. See, I put the hand out and they kind of want to touch hands. They didn't do that with Tom Cable.
Yeah.
Right. So this is new to him. It took him a little while to get his hands back inside. We see here, got his hands back inside. He just drives this guy in the ground. And I just call him peace around chaos, because look at him just dominate, but there's still a guy hitting Derek Carr. That's basically, it's going to be a lot of this film. It's just, you know, him just peace around chaos. This is another one. This is watch him drive Matt Judon, who's one of the best edge rushers. He just drives him to the ground here. Just pancakes him to the ground.
Right? That's this year. I remember seeing that on the broadcast, like, oh, dang.
Right? And then, but everybody else is losing. top 10 offensive line, PFF grade right here. This is how you get it. Top 10. You get a 90 grade right there. By
99 boost grade. The average.
99 grade right there. Here's a 99. Right? And then we see all the rest.
Top 10
O-line right there. Here's some more. We can see it's another good one. Peace around chaos, guys, right here. So let's talk about early in the season, he struggled to kind of get his hands inside quicker. Let's see. Back a little. Let's see. Okay. So I don't know where this hand touching thing comes from. I got to find out. I'm trying to, where did that technique come from? I don't know, but I've seen it before. You see, now he gets his hands in quicker and he's just set. This is, that guy's going nowhere. But Jared Stidham still get hit on the opposite side. Peace around chaos. All right. Here's another one, right? Same technique. Gets his hand inside quicker. Now he's just controlling the guy with one hand. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? He's just one of the best left tackles in football. They got a franchise left tackle. That's what we, he's going to be here for at least 10 years, hopefully, if, you know, if we don't get crazy. Once again, right? Hands inside quick. Look at that. Easy. Power. And Parham just finishes him off. And then Jared Stidham misses Hunter Renfrow for a touchdown. And we only don't get nothing out of that. And here's another one. Here's against the run. You see him? You know, he even has some good run blocks here. You know what I'm saying? Pushing that guy outside, helping him make that hole. But like I said, peace around chaos. Look at this one. This right? Good block right here. He's setting that up. Look at that. Another 90 grade PFF grade right here for Colton. What a block. But Derek Carr's getting hit by two guys. So. Yeah, that's the kind of that breakdown right there, guys. but yeah, okay. So those are impact players. Okay. I want to give a huge shout out to Cole Miller. You know, I did give the office line a lot of crap all year, but I really feel like that. Man, I really feel like he had a really good season. So shout out to him. Definitely legit. You know, player, in my opinion. I think he's as legit left tackle you can get. And I mean they can't let him go.
We saw him going up against some good defenses there. We saw him going up against some good players, right? And yeah, I mean, if you don't believe Marcus, go through the tape yourself and watch Colton Miller in comparison to everyone else. You know, I think it's going to be, and again, our system, simple. More good plays than bad. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we saying that these impact players that you had on the list never had a bad play, never had a crucial mistake? No, we're not saying that. Yeah. We're saying that their good outweighed their bad. And it's interesting that you chose those three players. I definitely agree. I mean, Davante Adams, the skill level that we're seeing on tape is phenomenal, right? Like, right, that's the best tape where you're going to see. I don't got anything better on the defensive side. Sorry, guys. I should have gone first, but so it's obvious we can't argue with Jacobs, we can't argue with Davante Adams. And you made a strong case that I agree with Colton Miller. Now, are you saying that we saw more bad from Derek Carr than good this year? Is that why you didn't put him on this
player list? I mean, Derek Carr's just average. So, I mean, I wouldn't even say there was more bad than good. I just wouldn't say there was good enough of anything. So, sure. It was just average play. I mean, I
wasn't consistent good enough.
No. So, it's just, yeah, he's average. I mean, I personally think he should have finished the season, but I mean, I don't, but no, that's what they thought. He wasn't playing very well, but they want Tom Brady. So, they need that. They can't pay him that guarantee and go get Tom. So I get it, but you know, you just I really hope your plan goes through because you know the right. Thing about Carr is like, man, I'm like he's a great rich QB.
Then, okay, yeah, you can say that. That's fine. Look, bridge QB. And if they're getting rid of Carr, that means that the next QB has to be has to land. It can't be a bridge QB. If they're saying Carr was a bridge QB, then the next QB has to be better than Carr, right? So we have to see a better than average quarterback play. I don't care if it's a rookie. I don't care if it's a veteran. Okay, I don't care if it's a guy that just tried out and it, you know, we've never heard of him. He's just working in a factory. Okay, I don't care. It has to be better than Carr, yeah. Or this is a mistake, right? So is that possible? Yes, it is possible because, like you said, Derek Carr was average, so there are better quarterbacks. You know, I don't know how many will be available, right? You mentioned Tom Brady. We'll see if they go that route. But we can save any more Derek Carr discussion for the end of the show.
Okay.
Another snub that people might have a problem with or might, you know, talk to you, I certainly wouldn't be in this camp, but Matt Collins, are you just a Matt Collins hater? Why didn't you add him to this impact player list? Don't you remember week one?
I mean, to be honest, because I mean, with me with Matt Collins is just everything I hate about wide receivers. So just running the wrong routes, causing things, and people thinking that blaming the quarterback and
right. Wrong.
I'm not the biggest Matt Collins fan. I think there's a lot of better wide receivers they could have picked that could have played that position. I get he can block and he's a gunner, but they definitely need to upgrade wide receiver too, for sure.
Blocking and gunner is not wide receiver two. Okay. If you're playing special teams, you should not be starting on offense. If you are the best gunner, okay. Are you Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, what are you doing on offense that is that special? Okay. If he's one of the best gunners in the league and he can block his butt off, okay, sub that man in on run plays and let him play special teams and find someone who's not going to mess up. Right. And I think that the benefit of this conversation, at least about Matt Collins, is if you study a team, you study a system, you have an idea, you're going to gain an understanding of where guys need to be, okay? If I go pop on some random team, there's enough that I'm going to be able to be like, oh, okay, I know what this coverage is, and I know what they're running, and I understand, right? But there might be an instance where I'll be like, I'm not sure what the problem is. There's definitely two guys that it comes down to, but I don't know who it is, right? Mm-hmm. But when I watch the Raiders, I know why. Because I watch them every week and because I study their defense, right?
Yeah.
So I know. I can confidently tell you who was wrong, you know, on a certain play or whatever it is. But that's because I watch them. So, yeah. And I study them. So you're telling people who might not study the Raiders to the same level that you do And, you know, go back and watch all of Tape Don't Lie. Marcus is going to be telling you all the names of the plays and showing you playbooks and everything like that. So if Marcus is telling you guys that Matt Collins is Matt Collins is messing up, okay, you got to believe him. Okay, you got to believe him. All right? So, because I don't know anyone that watches as much Raiders offense as Marcus. Personally, I don't know anyone. I mean, you know, there's got to be a few people that don't work for the Raiders that watch more Raiders offense than you, right? So, if you're saying that he's messing up, I'm 100% believing you. And even then, I don't even have to know all that. You don't have to blame everything on Carr. I understand he's not your favorite quarterback, guys. Okay, but not every time that there's a mistake, it's on him. Okay, sometimes it's on the wide receiver too.
I know just from watching quarterbacks, I mean, most interceptions are on the wide receivers. The wide receiver always doing something stupid, I'm telling you.
I love how you broke down and you were transparent about your dislike for Matt Collins. It's pretty good. Any other snubs that you think we should talk about before we move on to the defensive side of the ball here?
I don't know, man. I mean, some people might say the fullback was an impact because of some of the
Of Josh Jacobs.
Season. Yeah, I mean, he has some good blocks.
There's an argument. There's an argument to be made there. Sure,
but I mean, sometimes he was, you know, we talk about more bad than good. You know, sometimes he's on the floor, like I showed on that one play. It wasn't like.
Do you know these stats offhand? Josh Jacobs running or rushing averages with fullback and without fullback?
No, not offhand, but I mean, I could pull that up. I mean, I could do like, it would take me a while though.
Nah. So, I mean, if it was like substantially better with Jacob Johnson, right, then it's like, okay, you could maybe make an argument there, right? Yeah. But I'd be willing to bet that it's just about the same. You know what I'm saying? You know, and we saw runs in there with Jacob Johnson, and we saw runs in there with Jacob Johnson and missing blocks, and Josh Jacobs still doing a great job, right? So yeah. I didn't see anything from him this year that I was like, wow, this guy is a serious battering ram. You know, he's like digging linebackers out consistently, and you know, he can replace the offensive lineman and who can go to the second level, and he can block a big guy or something like that, like an elite fullback. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see anything from him this year that was really eye-popping. But I have seen that from Jacob Johnson in the past. I have. So I don't think that this year was his best year.
Yeah. I mean, there are some games he was awesome, and there's some, you know, it's basically, you know, there's some games he wasn't. But, it was just hard, like, impact. Like, there's two impactful guys, and they made first team all pro. So, and then one I thought got super snubbed for the Pro Bowl. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's all pro because he's not better than like Lane Johnson or Trent Williams. But, you know,
all pro means you're the best one.
Yeah, you're the best player at that position.
Right.
So, I'm not going to say that. But, yeah, he definitely should have been a Pro Bowler. But, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
two of the best players in the position. And
we got to save money, man. These are the most expensive positions too. So we can have one of these guys get stopped. Gosh darn! Can't have the wide receiver and the left tackle going to the Pro Bowl. You ain't gonna have no money left.
Yeah, man. I mean, if they start winning, he'll get Pro Bowls. But you know,
sure, 100%. Yeah, we've seen that 2016. The entire offensive line, right? For right tackle went.
Yeah,
you know, it's just you win, you go.
You win, then the offensive line goes. For sure.
That's a fact.
All right, man.
All right. So I'll jump into defense here. Okay. We're doing impact players on defense. I had a few more than you. You know, I was able to find five guys, but we can talk about that. You know, we can have that debate. So here, let me just pull it up. All right. So first, I'm going to talk about Andrew Billings. And the reason why I counted Andrew Billings as an impact player is because, I mean, some of these some of this tape against the run here that we're going to see from him. He's, you know, lined up nose tackle. He's going to be in the same spot in, you know, in this A gap, the entire breakdown, I'm pretty sure. And you see him go backdoor against that zone, you know, just completely blow and just wreck that blocking scheme. And this, these were not one-offs. He did this a lot this year. He was just an incredible player, extremely tough to block against the run. Okay. Again, outside zone. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just beat this guy and get my arm on Derrick Henry. How often do you see a guy like this on Derrick Henry and then be able to grab hold of him and stop him in his tracks? That's pretty rare, I would say. 97, again, A gap on the other side now. We're going to get, they're going to try to reach him outside zone. You would think that a big man like this outside zone is not good. So I just want you to watch. He's on the hash. His foot is on the hash. And by the time he makes his tackle, he's all the way out here on the numbers. He can move. You might think he's a big, fat, ugly guy, but he can move. Okay. He's a big, fat, ugly guy who can move. All right. All right. So don't ever take that away from him. Okay. 97 here again. A gap player. Okay. We're going to get a little pass rush here. Okay. Andrew Billings. So it's, you know, that's probably the best pass rush they had all year. Right. But he was an impact player. He made some plays. He missed some time because of injury. But I put him on the list. Now, let's go over Amik Robertson. I think you might be surprised to see him on the list because we talk some trash against him about Amik Robertson. You know, you see him give up a catch here, long catch here. Was he perfect? Am I saying that he was perfect? Of course not. Okay. He's 5'8", for crying out loud. He's not going to be perfect out here. But what he did, okay, was continue to be chippy, continue to be competitive the entire season, okay? And even though he started out the season rough, by the end of the year, like, they challenge him, they're going to go after him one-on-one on a goal line, okay? He jumps in front of this, breaks this pass up, okay, on the goal line. Watch him get in on some big plays, tackles. We saw him make a few impact tackles this year, playing on the outside and playing in the slot, coming forward. Okay, but the most impressive thing that Amik Robertson did was he started getting his hands on the football and causing turnovers. Watch the windup and the punch. Punch this ball out. Beautiful, incredible play. Okay, another interception that we have from him. Okay, down here, he's going to go hang it in the flat, cushion that, get that interception. You know, by the end of the year, Amik Robertson was making more good plays than bad. And honestly, by the end of the year, he was the only corner making any plays at all. So I put him on the impact player list because of that. Now let's go over Denzel Perryman. Denzel Perryman probably should have been higher, but he just missed a lot of time with injury this year. But the games that he was in, we saw Denzel Perryman just from last year, right? Like, shooting gaps, making tackles for a loss, having incredible nose for the ball and understanding of blocking schemes. So against the run, right, Denzel Perryman picked up right where he left off last year. Some just incredible, like, this was one of the most phenomenal run fits that you're ever going to see. Outside zone. And instead of saying, okay, I know this back wants to get all the way out here, so I want to go ahead and beat him out here, he just says, okay, I'm just going to go back door here. No one does that, guys. No one does that. No one shoots the gap on outside zone. No one shoots the A gap on outside zone. That's the backside A gap, mind you, not the frontside A gap, the backside A gap. And he makes a tackle on outside zone. That is phenomenal. Incredible play. That back is shocked as well. But also, by the end of the year, Denzel Perryman started making some plays against the pass. Like, what? When I saw this, I was like, what am I seeing right now? I know Denzel Perryman did not just make an interception in the middle of the field, a little run back on top of it. Okay. And then also, there are some times where they had the perfect blitz call for him. You see him here. Okay. Hit this unblocked, perfect call. Smacks that quarterback, ends up being a catch, but he got a lick on the quarterback. This one, he ends up blowing it up. Same kind of thing. Hits the hole immediately. Times a snap up. It's a good look to get a hurry and break up that pass. So he started making plays against the pass as well. So I do have to put Denzel Perryman, obviously, on the list. Definitely a lot more good than bad, for sure. Now, Daron Harmon is another guy who surprised me a lot. And Daron Harmon was not perfect this year. He's not like, I'm not saying he's one of the best safeties in the NFL. Okay, you see him get beat there. He's, you know, there's going to be a little bit of an athletic limitation from Daron Harmon. Okay, but what he made up for, just the absolute savviness, the smarts. Okay, watch him here. He's on the line of scrimmage. They're showing cover zero. He wants to bail out. Okay, and then end up throwing a screen. All right, so then he comes back down here. And then if you remember this play, you know that a fumble is coming up. But before the fumble, watch his body positioning. We got a vice tackle between 20 and 52 about to happen, and he puts himself right in between 20 and 52. He knows there's only one place for this ball carrier to go, and so he's putting himself in front of the ball carrier. That is how you position your body as a safety. And then just the cherry on top is he punches the ball out. Okay, and the Raiders get it back after quite a few attempts. Now, the other thing that Daron Harmon did was he made some really good plays on the ball this year. And this is just an example of you don't have to be the most incredible athlete, the fastest guy out there, the quickest guy out there. Daron Harmon knows the situation, and he knows, okay, I know exactly where this guy's going to go. Because he breaks on the ball and beats the wide receiver to where the ball is actually going. Okay. This is film study here. Okay. This is not just him out there making a play. Okay. He has an idea of where this is going and he gets a jump on it and he starts going there before the ball even comes out. All right. So that's the kind of level of headiness that Daron Harmon brought. Another coverage play in the middle of the field. This is a beautiful coverage play. So I wanted to add it in here. He's the post safety. And we're getting potentially a post. I mean, this could be a shake route. This could go end up going to the corner, but it could also end up going to the post. So he's got to honor this, okay? But then he sees two real rear back and throw it to the short guy. So he comes off and ends up blowing this one up and preventing that wide receiver from hauling in that catch, okay? So again, Daron Harmon made a lot of plays on the ball. This is another beautiful interception from him. I mean, when you're seeing all this, yeah, you might not remember Daron Harmon from play to play, but when you're seeing all the impact plays that he put together, I mean, it's hard to argue that he was an impact player for the Raiders, especially what having the green dot by the end of the year. Now, obviously, Max Crosby is the number one guy that we're going to talk about here. Okay, and we saw Max Crosby take a step in his pass rush. Okay, and last year, this is the only move that he ever won on. Okay, right? Well, for like a quick win, like immediate, quick, clean pass rush win, it was this two-hand swipe and around the corner. And that was really his bread and butter, and guys started sitting on that and waiting for that. Now, what he ended up doing is he developed some extra counters to his game, and we see him here going for that speed, gets underneath the pads and goes for that bull rush and just completely dog walks that guy back into Geno Smith. That is a beautiful pass rush rep. Okay, here's another one where this is more along the lines of him making a read and a calculated guess. Okay, but he shoots the gap here against a play action and gets that pressure and forces an errant throw. So sometimes rushing the passer isn't about great moves. It's just about knowing the situation, getting a great get off the snap, okay, and trusting your instincts. And, you know, in this respect, I mean, what move did Max Crosby use right here? There's no moves. It's just being explosive and being smart. And he gets a pass rush win, right? And now we're going to see another bull rush. Okay, he goes for the extension, and then this is what we saw from Crosby, the extra step. Okay. He was always a guy that would stay busy and have great effort when he didn't initially win. But now we're seeing him go for the arm over after he doesn't initially win with this bull rush. He kind of gets, gets knocked back a little bit here. And then he goes for the arm over and wins. Okay. So it's another move. It's not just being busy and hustling and having great effort afterwards. It's stringing moves together. Okay. And then we also have another counter here. Probably the quickest inside spin rush win of any NFL player this season out here against 77. Beats him inside. And the pansy refs don't want Patrick Mahomes to get suplexed, so they blow the whistle. Right? So pass rush, he took steps forward this year, Max Crosby. Okay. And he was impactful pass rusher in years past, right? But where he took the biggest step forward, in my opinion, was against the run, because we can't really say like Max Crosby is the best pass rusher in the NFL, but I don't know if we can say that there's a better run defending defensive end in the NFL than Max Crosby.
There isn't.
Okay. So, I mean, and I have not watched all 32 teams, but if you can find me a guy who's doing all the stuff that I'm about to show you, Max Crosby was doing every single game. Okay. It's really not fair. And like, this is literally Max Crosby just destroying a blocking scheme. We got two guys. Okay. And he's going to go ahead and Olay this guy, make him miss. Like, what? That is not a thing. Okay. You're supposed to go heavy inside, wrong arm this guy. Max Crosby's like, nah, I'm just a better athlete. I'm just going to give him a little Euro step and get underneath him. Okay. Trust me, no one teaches guys to do that. That's just Max Crosby being a beast. Okay. Here's another one. Again, smarts, instincts, going for the inside move. We got that blitz off the edge. We can go for this inside move. Okay. And blows this blocking our, you know, entire run play up against one of the best backs in the NFL. You know, oh, here, I got to stop the screen. So Max Crosby, he took some strides against as a pass rusher. We saw him improve as a pass rusher and then turn into a completely savage, dominant run-stopping defensive end. You know, so I had to highlight his run defense as well. Obviously, he was by far, you know, made the biggest impact of any defensive player this year for the Raiders. You know, that being said, I had to give some of those other guys some love too on the list.
Yeah, man. I mean, you showed the film. I mean, those guys made some great plays. So, I mean, Billings had a good year. He did. You know, and Harmon had a surprising year. Definitely better than anybody thought he would play. So, and then you know, as I said, I like how Meek played, because you know Meek made he that's what he did. He made plays at least.
He made plays.
Right? You give up that. You show the Paris Campbell, you know, maybe you give up a bad play. But hey, if you're making picks and you're causing fumbles and you're running back touchdowns, you know what I mean? You're making an impact by, you know, making plays. And that's crazy, playmakers, straight up. You know, you don't have a lot of guys making plays on defense when they need a play.
Yeah. And, right.
You know, maybe you didn't get that from, you know, Meek this year, or, you know, you got that from Harmon a little bit, but. Yeah, it's more what's sad, man. You just didn't show any young guys. I guess that's kind of so many young guys on defense. I mean, you really didn't show. I mean, besides Meek Robinson, I guess, but you know, there's other young guys in this team that, you know, like Nate Hobbs or Trayvon Moehrig, right? You know, that you want to define
Diablo. Well, I could talk about, you know, some of those guys. I mean, I'm hoping that Nate Hobbs just was struggling to come back from injury, you know, but finding a good play from him in the last half of the season when he came back, it was almost impossible. So I couldn't add him to the list. He got beat so much. Even guys like Anthony Avery, every single play that he came in, he got beat. Sam Webb got beat a ton, you know, and it's just basically like every game I'm watching, it's Max Crosby makes a play and then the corner gets beat outside for a big catch. You know, Andrew Billings makes a run stuff. Denzel Perryman makes a run stuff. It's 3rd and 7. Guess what? They're going back after that corner again, and he gives up the first down. So, you know, it was struggle. It was a struggle to watch that. And Nate Hobbs was included at the end of the year. He was one of those guys that was getting targeted and giving up those plays. So I couldn't add Nate Hobbs on the list, and I am disappointed in that. Hopefully it was just an injury thing. And then as far as Trayvon Merrick goes, Trayvon Merrick also had just about as many good, solid coverage plays as Daron Harmon did, where he's making a play on the ball, right? And, you know, great body positioning and you know, and all that stuff. And in my opinion, we saw Trayvon Merrick improve as like a box player. We saw him make some plays against the box. Like, I was like, oh, Trayvon Merrick, he's flying through, you know, through the hole there and hitting that back or whatever it is. So we saw him make an improvement there, but there was just weight. Like, Daron Harmon was not getting beat like every single game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, there was an equal amount of bad plays for Trayvon Merrick as good plays. And for Daron Harmon, there was just like a small handful of bad plays. You know, it was just a couple bad plays. So that's why I had to do it for Daron Harmon and not for Trayvon Merrick. But, you know, if Trayvon Merrick cleans up some of that stuff that he's struggling with, I mean, he could definitely be considered one of the, you know, amongst one of the better coverage safeties. And I'm not talking about like the Jesse Bates and, you know, like, the marquee safeties. I'm talking about like the Anthony Harris's and the Marcus Williams types, where they're coverage safeties, right? Trayvon Merrick, if he takes a step forward and cleans up some of his technique, I think he could be like in that class of guy, but we'll see about that.
Okay. All right, man. Any other thoughts on defensive guys? Any?
I mean, the only thing I'll say is after those five guys that I talked about, you might see a little bit of Chandler Jones and a little bit of Cleveland Farrell making a play, right? But no one else was making plays after those five guys. They were all getting beat or just running around out there. So the Raiders have five, six, maybe seven guys on defense that are okay. And then they're like, I don't know what they're going to do this offseason, but there's a ton of holes.
So I know some people might ask you about Rocky Sin.
Yes.
Rocky Sin, an impact player.
Rocky Sin, I like Rocky Sin. I'm a big Rocky Sin fan. Okay. Rocky Sin was definitely, if he played the way he played like the first 5 weeks of the season, if he like kept that consistency throughout the entire year, definitely he would be an impact player. But he was not consistent at the end of the year. It was like super up and down for him. Like, he would have some bad games, and then he would be having some bad games where maybe he made like a couple good plays in those games where he was like still giving up like 70 yards or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just not consistent enough for Rocky Sin. But again, you're going to get beat as a corner in the NFL. Like, who are you? Right? Who are you? Are you Deion Sanders? Like, you're going to get beat, right?
He got beat too. I mean, Michael, you're 200 on him.
Right. You're gonna get beat. You got to make plays. Okay? And are we seeing Rocky Sin, you know, punching the ball out and making interceptions and, you know, doing all that stuff, right? Not to the same extent as Amik did for the Raiders, especially in the last half of the season.
Could you imagine Deion Sanders with PFF grades and them trying to say his PFF grade was low?
Yeah, because he gave up separation. Crap.
25-year-old Deion Sanders went first PFF.
He would have ruined PFF.
He would have called them nerds and stuff.
He would have said,
yeah, I got no women. Yeah, I got no women. Yeah,
he would have said one thing, and PFF would have been loser town after that. Man. It already is.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. Hey, man, our boy Matt Holder, he's a PFF gang. All the way up. Friend of the show. Yeah. All right. So, last thoughts. Of course, Derek Carr is.
Yes. This is.
No. He's gone to wherever he's going to go. They got a month to trade him. Hopefully, they have a plan to do that. Hopefully, they had something already to go. Something tells me they didn't, but hopefully, they did. Because if not, they got to cut him and get nothing out of it, which I think is probably going to be what Derek Carr wants. They want to get cut. That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want to get on the open market and have 10 teams bid for him.
Yeah.
Right. And
you know, that's what his agent wants. Yes.
Right. And everybody's gonna be like, oh, you know, that's not going to happen. But it happened to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins had like three teams on the phone. He was going back and forth. He was messing with them. Right. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to want Derek. I mean, the Jets already said they want a veteran quarterback. They're going to sign one, right? So, you know, maybe he'll get some good money or go play the
Jets. Derek Carr is not mentally strong enough to deal with New York media. I'm sorry. If you block people on Twitter because you don't like their opinions, oh my God. These New York reporters literally, like, half the time they're getting fired for stalking these players. Okay, these guys are nuts. Okay? Read about the Jets reporter who lost access. Read about that guy. What is his name? Manish or something
like
that?
Yeah, Manish. Yeah, yeah.
Manish. I don't know how you say that. But, yeah. I mean, like, these guys are nuts over here in New York. So, like, if the Oakland press was too much for him and he had to mute some of these guys and block some of these guys on Twitter, oh, my God, he's not ready for New York.
Yeah, Rich Cimini, all this. But, well, with New York, they don't have to sign it with the team. Like, the media has, like, their own kind of union. Right. So they can ask whatever they want to ask.
There's no softballs.
You ain't getting the softballs. They can argue with you. They can argue with you and. You know,
right?
Because they're not afraid of losing access, which is actually pretty cool for them. That's why I'm always scared to if I go to those Josh McDaniels press conferences, I'm asking too much of a football question because I want to ask him, you know, what are you doing with Brendan Brown? Like, so you're just like nobody asked him that. So like as soon as he said the young players, there's just so many questions I would have bounced off of some of the things he said. Like we're going with the young guys, I would have asked. So since you're going with the young guys, are we going to see Britton Brown or like what's
Jameer White out there? Yeah,
yeah. What's your value? Like how's he been looking at practice? Is there a reason why we haven't seen him and he's been inactive and not put back on the practice squad? You know, what are you stashing him for? That's what I want to know. That's a serious question. I also want to know why Darren Waller lost snaps. That pissed me off. Nobody asked that. Nobody was wondering. That wasn't a thought process. We're so stuck on Derek Carr. He just behind Derek Carr getting benched. He just slowly had Darren Waller playing less snaps than Foster Moreau.
I honestly can't even watch these press conferences anymore because there's nothing substantive that comes out of them. I'm not wasting my time listening to the same things being said over and over again. So it's definitely not helpful for me. I don't know about you, but I stopped listening.
Yeah, I get the transcripts. I get it sent to me every day. So
yeah, I get the transcripts too. I mean, I'll read through it, but I stopped listening to it because I'm not getting anything out of these guys. It's just again, it's like they certainly played. You know, we got to tip their caps to them. You know, and like, oh yeah, we certainly tried this and it didn't work. And like, okay, great, man.
We played really hard.
Yeah.
when I posted on the shorts, you forgot to play.
Yeah,
so I was dying.
That was good. Did that blow up?
No, it didn't because a lot of people. You know, we got some McDaniel stands out here.
That's going over people's heads. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, but this conversation that we're having about Derek Carr, let's back up. The conversation really is about what they're going to do, okay, going forward here. Like, what's the next step? And maybe that's going after a veteran. Maybe that means. Tom Brady, that is a possibility, I guess, because there's a connection there, right? Like Ziegler and McDaniels are from the Patriots, right? So there's a connection, right? Any other veterans that are available that you think would be a good option?
Jimmy G's another guy they're talking about, but I really hope they don't do that. We're not the Niners. So
no,
and he's on the same system for 6 years. I don't know how long the hell how the hell long he's been in Shanahan's system, like 6 seasons.
Yeah,
and I know he ran the system, but man, like basically going to living in Mexico, learning Spanish, never talking English to anybody ever again, and then coming back to America and making sure you have your English back to normal. Right, you're gonna forget a little bit of English. You're gonna be more entrenched with your Spanish living in Mexico. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit of adjustment for him. Also, he's not a stand tall in the pocket guy and get hit. Plus if he does that, he's going to get hurt. So
McDaniel's run game, I don't think it's diverse enough. And, you know, Jimmy G's a quarterback who relies on play action and does Josh McDaniels run a ton of play action?
No, he doesn't.
And then also, like, if we're just looking at talking about that style of quarterback that he plays and that style of offense, you also need an elite defense, honestly, to otherwise your offense will just not score enough points. Like it's just not going to work. You're not going to get enough at bats, right? Like you need a defense to give you like three and outs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and you probably win the game because your offense is going to be out there for so long because you're running the ball. But that's not how Josh McDaniels' offense even works. That's closer to how a John Gruden offense works. Mm-hmm. And they don't even have close to a defense, anything that resembles San Francisco. So yeah, we can't bring Jimmy G in and expect to see like something similar than what we've seen. No way.
No, exactly. So it would be bad, but I mean, a guy I wouldn't mind that people probably bother with this is Jacoby Brissett. I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't get excited, but I wouldn't mind it because I thought he played pretty well with Cleveland this past year.
He looked all right, you're saying?
What's up? Yeah,
he looked
played pretty well, man. I mean, he played better than Deshaun Watson did. They shouldn't have benched him. Maybe if they didn't bench him, they might have had
a
playoffs, right? ESPN QBR, he was top 10 before he got benched.
Interesting.
So, I mean, he had a pretty good season.
How old is Jacoby Brissett?
Oh, that's a good damn question.
Have we seen a quarterback like in their like what sixth year or something like that, like all of a sudden elevate their game to be like amongst one of the top 10 elites or something like that? Have we seen that before?
Geno Smith.
You can make an argument, Geno Smith. I mean, definitely stats wise. At what point, you know, did Kurt Warner was like an arena?
Rich Gannon.
And Rich Gannon stylistically is very similar to Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, but Rich Gannon had John Gruden, and so
which is better for Jacoby Brissett types for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, Jacoby Brissett, yeah, he didn't play bad, man. He played pretty well.
That's interesting that you're saying that. I'll have to go watch him. If that's the case, if the Raiders sign Jacoby Brissett, I'll watch quarterbacks for the first time in years. Just to get my own opinions on. I mean, I'll watch whoever the Raiders quarterback is, I got to watch, I'm not going to watch every single free agent or rookie on offense, but I will watch the quarterback. You can rest assured. So I'll have my own opinions on that. So I'd like to see Jacoby Brissett, but yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be like super optimistic or excited.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be excited. I mean, there's Mac Jones too. Mac Jones is a possibility if they trade for Mac Jones. He's done.
Mac Jones is a little bit more. There's more optimism there because he's younger, right?
But
Jacoby Brissett over Mac Jones.
I do have a secret veteran though. Just his car as a trade piece. Ryan Tannehill is my secret veteran. My sleeper. Just because he played in this offense with Ryan Gates and Adam Gase. Adam Gase was wide receiver coach under Josh McDaniels in Denver, and then became the offensive coordinator running his offense with Peyton Manning. Right. So Ryan Tannehill does have a little bit of history in the offense, and he does like to stand in the pocket and take hits, and he doesn't care. So I think that's something that Josh McDaniels would like. He's definitely going to stand in there and throw that 20-yard dig and not care if he's about to get smashed in the face. So I think that's going to be a factor for him. I do like maybe that's just a sleeper guy. They do like a swap trade because that's what I really think they want to do. If they trade a quarterback, they want to swap. That's probably their ideal thing. They want Tom Brady or a swap, right? If they can't get Tom. And I think that's a clean swap to me that both teams would like. Like a team would want to move on from Tannehill, and then you can send Derek.
Raiders would get fleeced. Stop talking about this right now, bro.
I'm just saying.
I swear to God. That would be extremely upsetting. Look, you're talking about Jacoby Brissett. You're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. You're talking about Ryan Tannehill. They would suck in this offense, bro. You got to throw outside the numbers like 50% of the time. Are you kidding me? Those guys would suck in this offense. So
Ryan Tannehill did suck in this offense. You got that right. He did.
Yes, we literally have.
I'm just saying, it's just a sleeper veteran is like, because Tannehill, he's played in the offense before. He's just a sleeper veteran. I'm just putting that out there. Maybe if they did a swap, they swapped
it. It better be a swap Tannehill. And picks. It better be a swap and picks. That is not a fair trade.
It could be like Goff and Goff and Stafford. Bro.
Okay, right, something like that. Okay,
right, because I mean it's kind of the same situation. Stafford wanted out. I mean, the Lions wanted to kind of move on from Stafford and start something new.
What about Stidham?
We didn't cover this properly.
You were down on Stidham after the. After the 49ers game, okay, yeah. And people were like, "What the hell are you guys talking about? Well, how was the play calling bad? They scored how many points?
They scored 17 points,
right?
Yeah,
like they're saying all this stuff, and did he come back down to earth after he has a week of film?
The second half went to the Chiefs game.
Yes,
how they played the second half is the whole Chiefs game.
Yes. So think about this, guys. We talked about this on the show, okay? Sudden quarterback change. That's what happened to the 49ers. They needed some time to figure out Stidham. It only took them half a game. Okay. Mm-hmm. But now the rest of the NFL probably knows and has seen enough. Okay. But for the people who are out there that are thinking, hey, maybe Stidham's the quarterback of the future, without saying your opinion on if you think that should happen or not, if that were to happen, what should the Raiders like expect? What would he need to improve on to be, you know, a guy that's better than average?
He's got going through his reads, man. He just doesn't go through his reads at all. This is big. One read and go. One read is not there. Go. Like one time he had, like they tried to set up against the Chiefs. Chiefs play totally different defense. You know, they wouldn't cover 7 on that boy. He wasn't ready for that. So they're doing some like a lot of switching. Juan Thornhill, he would like play brackets, like he would play all verticals for Devontae while the other guy would play underneath. So there's one play where they did like they kind of set it up pretty nicely from the look that if you get Devontae on the wheel, right, you're gonna have it one-on-one. But Thornhill, the guy stayed, Thornhill came on top. Stidham, if he just went through his progression, he had a clean pocket, he had Darren Waller wide open, cruising.
Yeah.
Right. But he's just tunnel vision. And that's what he was. And I think that was a big
one. So Jared Stidham had it. Yeah.
Sorry. So we saw a lot of cool runs. Like, oh my God, it's a dope run. Oh my God, look at him using his legs. It was really his runs was a tunnel vision go.
Yeah. Right. Process over results. Definitely important to think about over any position quarterback. Process over results. And when you're looking at a guy running around, okay, that's great. Yeah. And sometimes that is the best play. But a lot of times when a quarterback is running like 4 yards, there was probably a better play than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Maybe the 4 yard run was the best play. Maybe. But
it happened a lot. He had Devontae wide open one time over the middle. He ran for 9 yards. I mean, it looks cool.
He had Hunter Renfrow open in the, I mean, he missed 3 touchdowns. Alone in the San Francisco game. Okay. Like you're saying, look how many touchdowns he had. He should have had 7 touchdowns. What do you mean? Many touchdowns he had. He should have had way more. He was get passing up open touchdowns left and right in that game.
I give him props though, because on the podcast he went on, he said that. Said that I could have put a 50. I was mad. Right. Yeah, you were right, Jared. Yeah, I'm happy he recognized that because. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I should have put a 55 on him. I was mad. We didn't play well in the red zone. So
yeah.
I liked him from his interview. I think he can get better. But it's more to me about what Jared Stidham. I would say this is that Josh McDaniels thinks he's Tom Brady. And that's my problem. Like if you see a one read guy, right? He's a one read and go. Okay. That's
what he's athletic.
You gotta win with.
He's athletic. Right?
Use his damn athleticism.
Hell yeah.
I don't understand, man. It didn't make any damn sense. Like, you got to the red zone this past game again. You couldn't score. I didn't see one zone read. You could do that quarterback draw, zone read, right?
Right. Come on. Lead draw. You know what I'm saying? Get him out on a little zone read.
The pin.
Okay, get him out there on a little. Yeah, get him out there on a little speed option. Throw something out there. First of all, what do you care if Jared Stidham gets hurt?
Right.
So run that boy. Yes.
And my thing is like you have Brian DeBall, right? Who runs your offense. He comes from you. He runs your offense, and he has two guys running for 700 yards.
He has a franchise quarterback last year, not this year.
Yeah.
He had a franchise quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he was still running him. Okay? So if Daboll doesn't care about Josh Allen getting hurt, Jerry Stidham can run the ball, guys. Gosh darn it. So, like, let's keep it real. 100%. That is a great, great comparison. Daniel Jones, you know, I don't want to get into all that because there is some positives for Daniel Jones. But really, the biggest positive is he's like 6'6", and he, you know, once he starts getting up to speed, he can like 30 miles per hour or something like that. Like he's a gazelle, right?
Yeah.
So it takes a while to get up to speed. Don't get me wrong. It's not like two steps like Lamar Jackson, you know, it's more like 10 steps.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see a guy who can do that. Oh, Dable's like, okay, I'm going to use that, right? Like that's smart. So. You know, I'm with you. Having your offense and not tailoring your offense to Derek Carr, not tailoring your offense last two games of the season, like, okay, it's okay to run something that's not your play, Josh, okay? Like, you don't have to have run it for 20 years to call it in a game. It's all right, all right? Like, you can call a new play, right? Like, to not tailor your offense and just call the same thing. The way that we saw Davante Adams be used, bro, are you kidding me? Fades and digs and posts.
I just don't even want to get into this because people like, you know, we focus on Derek Carr so much this year. Like people just ignored everything else. Like you had Davante Adams as your deep threat. He averaged for 15 yards for completion.
You had him running three routes, guys.
He just ran three routes. He ran fades, digs, and a post. Like he was Randy Moss. And he did the hand up thing.
That is an egregious misuse of a premier route runner and, you know, all pro best technician at his position to limit what he does best and say, hey, extrapolate that on over only three routes for the majority of the game. Come on, you're doing everyone a disservice. So yeah, Josh McDaniels is not it. And until he proves otherwise, I'm down on the Raiders because of Josh and because of Dave. We didn't get into Josh Jacobs getting re-signed, so we'll get into that next episode. I'm done talking about Josh McDaniels. You're
done. I mean, he's fed up, man. He's fed up. I mean, I feel it, though, because I was like, are we really – like, how long can this last Davante Adams? That's my thing. Like, as he gets older, I know he's a great route runner, but we saw it this year. Like sometimes he's not going to separate. And then you got the Steelers who are like, okay, all you do is run fades. So I'm just going to sit back and play your fade. And I know if I press you based on your system, you're running.
You're going.
So
right.
If I come and press you, I can control that. I can control what you do and I can control Davante Adams just by pressing him. Cause he's going fade. Davante Adams, you press me and I have a fade adjustment. Right, and that's right. What a lot of started happening. Him and Derek Carr doing these low percentage passes, right?
Oh yeah, and early it's just like killing drives. That would kill their drives for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because it goes both ways. Like I'm playing quarterback, I look to my left and I see Davante Adams has a 1-on-1 in press coverage. Man, I don't give a damn what's happening on the other side. I'm gonna try to make that happen because.
Yes,
that's my guy, right? And so it puts them in a tough spot. So to have him only one run route, and you know,
but
mixing it up.
So again, goes back to Josh McDaniels. He's realizing, okay, teams are dictating what we're doing and getting us into a low percentage throw, right? We gotta make an adjustment, right? Like, okay, we're not gonna run. We're gonna run speed out against press. You know, like this week or whatever it is. So for them, again, not to adjust, right? That's on Josh McDaniels. He needs to realize, yeah, you want Carr and Davante Adams to be like, oh, I got one-on-one and I press on the outside and there's a safety in the middle of the field. I'm open on the outside, right? Like, that's how it should feel, right? But if that's like every single play, all you have to do is force them to, you know, into 50-50 balls all game, is just line up and cover one and press Davante Adams, you know what they're going to do. You know, and they don't have the offensive line that can sit back there and protect for that kind of play all game long. So that's, if that's what we can force them to do, we'll do it. Josh McDaniels not ever realizing it, right? So again, that's on Josh McDaniels. Derek Carr,
yeah.
Davante Adams, like, go try to throw a fade, okay, against a random person, okay, and see how hard that is to complete that ball, okay? You can have some random guy, just you see him out there at the park, say, hey, cover my friend. I'm going to try to throw a fade on you. I'm guaranteed you're not going to complete that. NFL regulation hash marks, no way. You're not completing that. Okay, it's the hardest thing to do. And, yeah.
55% complete percentage.
There you go.
All right, man. We're out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Definitely, you know, give you guys some content, different some conversation. You know what I'm saying? Talk about the impact players and what's going to happen going forward. So hopefully, BD doesn't get upset. We don't trade for Ryan Tannehill. Because, you know, we want BD to stay on the show. And
instant retirement.
All right, guys. We'll see you. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Check the membership. You know, I got some stuff up there. CJ Stroud, even though he hasn't declared, he ruined my draft breakdown. So I'm going to move on to other people. I'm doing some Brian Breesy this week and some Anthony Richardson. So check that out.
Nice.
You know, man. So be on the lookout, guys. Peace.
Peace, y'all.